Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Steve Hall. It's time for the match preview ahead of Newcastle versus Liverpool this Sunday down, well up rather, at St James's Park. I'm delighted to be joined by Sam Walker, Saj Iqbal and John Reid for this one. Yeah, let's get straight into it guys then. Jürgen at time recording has just done his press conference, Sam. So team news wise for Liverpool, before we even talk about the importance of the game, what Newcastle might do, I want to start on that pretty much straight away. No Thiago, no Curtis Jones, and a major doubt about Ibu Konate. I think the Jones one we kind of half expected. He hasn't trained all week. Thiago, there was an outside chance, but Liverpool are obviously rightly playing it very, very carefully with him. I suppose it's the Konate one that everyone's all a bit like, ah, that is a big blow because, listen, when we talk about the possible replacements later, but I think if Liverpool do want to do the whole box midfield thing with Trent, Konate is a massive part of that. Someone who can get out over there and do that job. Without him, Liverpool's tactics might have to change, you know, a couple of days out from a very big game.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think that maybe Klopp's known this, you know, for a few days this week, so that if there's anything that they could have done, they've already sort of put it in motion. But it is a big blow, and I don't think any of us seen it coming. As you say, Thiago and Jones, we all imagined would probably not be ready with Curtis had a bang on the ankle, and Thiago not even been in training yet properly, has he? So those ones we kind of already expected, but Ibu's a massive one. I mean, there's probably only one position or a couple of positions in our squad at the moment where we literally can't replace it. Trent probably being one of them, and Ibu really. I mean, even Verge, because he doesn't have to do all that running on the right hand side. It's such a big job, so it's gonna be a massive blow if he's unavailable. Yeah, let's just hope that doubt is a bit of mind games, and Konate's there with the shirt on Sunday.
I know I saw a thing the other day that he'd missed training for a couple of days. Sad. So yeah. there was a little bit of like, is he looking after him? Was he doing whatever? Jürgen was quick to point out. Actually, he said like, you know, playing with 10 men the other day didn't do anyone any favors. But Sam is right, isn't it? Like, we shouldn't be surprised Ibu gets injured because Ibu's often got injured, and I don't really want to do the transfer talk today. Yeah. That this is a preview show, that's for other things. But you are like, in a lot of positions, there is, I say like for like, it's more someone who can do a job. The quality might drop off, but there's someone who can do similar things. But you are right, without Konate, you are looking at it's Matip or Gomez and thinking neither of those two really seem suited for that right-hand side role, especially if Trent is going to drift inside.
Yeah, 100%, and I completely agree with Sam. It's probably one position in the Liverpool team where we know whoever probably comes in is not going to be up to scratch. We've seen how well Gomez and Matip have been, especially over the last, let's say, 6 months and even in pre-season. But it's a if he doesn't play, it's a massive, massive letdown from our side for Liverpool, because let's face the music, he has been pretty injury prone since his time at Liverpool, and it's a position that, you know, he's a player that we need to be fit more or less every single game. So it's a massive, it's a doubt, it's a massive, massive blow to Liverpool going into this game. I hope he makes it. I know, like you mentioned, he's been out now for a couple of days, and when I didn't see him in training, I did feel as though, you know what, something's probably piping up here where he's probably is sort of injured, because that's what Ibu's about. But look, I just pray and hope that he makes it for the game. If not, it's going to be a massive, massive blow.
Yeah, absolutely, and we'll talk about that in a moment, like John and team news and who could replace him and that kind of stuff. But let's look ahead generically then about the game itself. Liverpool beat Newcastle twice last season. Newcastle still finished above Liverpool. Newcastle, Jürgen himself said, you know, they've had really good transfer business. He said, I think, something along the lines of Tonali and Harvey Barnes are two of the best signings anyone's made this summer. I watched them twice now. They battered Aston Villa. They were okay against Newcastle. They were very, very much in the game. It was only 1-0, and it was a very good goal that beat them. So it does feel like this is a really tough away game. You know, in the past, you'd see Newcastle away as a bit of a challenge because of the atmosphere and whatever, but really, they've been a poor side. But obviously, since the investment and since the change of manager and the players they've got now, this is one of the most difficult away games you can get for Liverpool, who away form last season was the reason Liverpool ultimately had a poor season. They did win at St James's, but this is a tough game.
Yeah, they're a team that can sort of do everything, isn't it? I mean, quietly and without sort of any of the, you know, the sort of big show that was around City when they got the money. You know, he's made that team, like he took all the sort of Championship players out of that team and put them in with like real quality, but he's also coached them really well. And the thing I really like about Newcastle is that you watch them play and they're all big lads, but they're all quick, they're all athletic, and they're all well drilled, so they can do a bit of everything. So it's like, should be touching on the Canate stuff there. You're worried about them getting in behind you in terms of recovery pace and stuff, but you're also worried about, you know, how they play in midfield because they're quite physical. And, you know, it's always a bit of a test going up there. I mean, they're just as mad. Obviously, they've only got the one team in the city, but they're just as mad about the football as we are. So going to St James's when they were a not so good team is always difficult. Going there when they're well drilled and flying and first season in Europe kind of thing is, you know, it is a big thing. And, you know, they're 2 or 3 years ahead of us at the minute, aren't they, in terms of, like, you know, this is a bit of a reset for us in terms of personnel and trying to get, like, something going again in midfield. They're, you know, a couple of years ahead on that journey of us and know what their team's going to be, know what they're going to be picking from a certain number of players. And they haven't quite got the Champions League football yet in terms of after the break to sort of have to mess that up so we could just play the same team. So it's going to be a really tough challenge. And I think, you know, the selection thing actually could, you know, I don't know whether the manager would sort of go safe or whether he'd go in terms of people he knows he can trust in certain positions and maybe go back to playing 4-3-3, or whether he thinks, do we just try and go toe-to-toe? Because the only thing we can do better than them probably score goals in terms of the attack.
And on that side, it's interesting because, again, there's a lot of viral stuff going around. Ever since Elon started paying people to tweet, the Twitter sphere has gone a bit over, all over the place. But there was a guy, I've probably seen it by now, doing a combined Liverpool-Newcastle 11. And fair enough, there were some things that you'd pick bones in and whatever. He's a Newcastle fan, whatever. But for the first time in a while, really, there were some genuine argument to be made for Newcastle players being in that. If you'd have had that conversation 2019, 2020, probably even 21, you'd have been looking at one max potentially.
I'd have one in now.
I get it, and there's arguments to be made, yeah. But I think there are discussions to have. Back then it wasn't, yeah, even a discussion. Like, you can look at their team and go, he's decent, they've got good players now.
And I
think we saw that in both games last season. You know, obviously the home game, Liverpool took 97 minutes. The away game, Liverpool actually started well a little bit, and then obviously the goalie got sent off, and it was a bit of a mad one. But you can't ignore the improvement in Newcastle, and I think it's fair to say, like John says, well, with Eddie Howe, they look a very well coached team. That's what I took from the Man City game. They've got good players, and they look well drilled. Every single one knows their job.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's been weird their season to start with, because Villa game was absolutely disrupted by that injury. And I think, yeah, if you're Villa away there, one of your main men goes down. Remember, he was the guy who got Gerrard sacked when you deep it down. Like, this is one of the main guys gone, ex-captain. That changed that, and they got schooled by City. And I know City didn't score loads of goals, but I thought they controlled. Yeah, it's difficult to judge where Newcastle are right now. Probably partly with us as well. We've had 10 men in one game, a draw in another, in a weird way game at Chelsea. There's levels, and I think Newcastle last year were flying at the best, and they just finished above us, and we had a terrible season for a million reasons. But one of the things I think with Newcastle, I said this before the City game, and I feel like I was vindicated in it, is that when they played against the poorer sides last year, Maximan wasn't effective because he was so deep. But as soon as he came up against us, United, City, Chelsea, he was unbelievable on the counter-attack, and no one could get near him. And they haven't got that now. And that showed at the weekend, when as soon as they had a breakaway, anyone with a bit of pace in City's defence, mind you saying that we haven't got much in ours at the minute, but was able to know what they had, because Maximan was so dynamic. And so I look at Newcastle now, and rightly so. I don't think anybody in the punditry, or even us, I think I saw your prediction show, had them in the top four. So I do think there's levels to it. I think where this game's a leveler is, it's at St James's Park.
On a Sunday afternoon,
I think that's the leveler. I think if you look around the pitch, like, I was being genuine, and I put Gumeiras in the six for us, and I don't think anybody realistically else gets an arty, even Isak, as good as he is. But it's about translating those levels into your performance, isn't it? Because it doesn't always work out that way. It's footy, so when I look at it on paper, I'm confident even without Konate, but as we all know in this Premier League, you go there, they get an early goal, corner, free kick, penalty, red card. It's an absolutely different game. So I am, that's for me where I sit on it, and I think they're a good side, but I think they've still got a few more rungs to go before they can really compete with the Arsenals now, Liverpool and Cities, to be honest.
On that side, it's interesting because I was speaking to Carl from Newcastle Fan TV for our Liverpool preview, and both of us kind of came to the agreement that you don't really, and I touch wood, I'm right on this one, from a Newcastle point of view, not from a Liverpool point of view, but like, if it's hard to see like a team like at the fours and fives, it does feel like this, it's going to be one goal besides this, yeah. And we're going to be going in the 85th minute and the result's still in the balance. That's the kind of game Newcastle played, because I think last season what was a little bit, went under the radar a bit, as how good they were defensively. They didn't concede many goals. There was a lot of 1-0s, there was a lot of 2-1s. They are very good at the back. They've got two, you know, Botman's a very good centre-half. They play Dan Byrne at left-back, who gives them a little bit more protection. He's not bombing forward down the left wing, which is 6'7", Dan Byrne. Kieran Trippier, again, he kind of stays. They have got a really rock-solid base, and I was wondering, because looking at it from a Liverpool point of view, it's what you do now without Konate. If it's without Konate, do you go at them? Can you afford to put Trent in midfield? Do you have to stay a little bit more 4-3-3? There's with a team who are that solid and compact, it's how do you break that down? Because Liverpool aren't going to go there to draw. Yeah. Liverpool are going to go and try and win that game.
Yeah.
And if they are going to be nice and compact at the back, someone's got to do something. And I do wonder how the Konate thing, does it throw a spanner in the works for that?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you look at it from a Konate's perspective, you know, it maybe does throw a bit of a spanner in the works. Me personally, away to Newcastle, a massive game, I would probably go stick with a 4-3-3, not really let Trent post up too highly, especially if Endo's going to play in the six. There's going to be instances where he can come inside when we've got possession of the ball, but we know how tough Newcastle away is. We found that out even with 10 men last year. They really, really made a game of it, and they really come at us, and they decide that, especially with the crowd behind their back. I think the onus will be sort of on Newcastle to show what they're about. They lost their second game, so it's time they've got to sort of come out, because I know it's early in the season and, you know, they've lost a game, we've drawn a game, but, you know, and Sam mentioned it, is a leveller. This might be a lever for both sides. You know what? If one of the sides was to win this game, it could be a massive springboard for us to go on. Especially from a Liverpool perspective, we win this game, we've got Newcastle and Chelsea out of it, two away games. We sat there with 7 points and we're looking ahead thinking, you know, there's a good chance here. And to be fair, it's for Newcastle as well. City, Liverpool out of the way, one at home, one away. And, you know, it can be a springboard for them guys as well. So looking at this game, I would try to play it safe at the start, see where it's going to sort of take it, because we are going to get chances in this game. You mentioned it. Our attacking lineup is good enough to score goals against any side. Of course, that Newcastle don't concede many, but we opened them up last season with two brilliant goals. In terms of the defence, it's still the same defence. So hopefully, you know, I'm looking forward to the game in every aspect, because it'll be a good game from a neutral perspective and from our guys, because it's a big test going up there, Newcastle, for our 4 kickoff. The crowd will be up for it. So let's wait and see what happens.
Let's talk Liverpool then, John. Let's do the defence first. We might as well. That's the starting point. If Ibu's out, who are you most comfortable playing on that right hand side of the central defence? It's Matip or Gomez, really. I know he gave Gerald Quansah a bit of flowers in the press conference, but that was more about about depth and stuff. So it's one of those two, really. I think we saw in pre-season a bit of alarm bells around Matip. But the flip side is, when Gomez played, he was pretty much either right back or left of the defence. He didn't really have a go right centre back. I don't think most of his game time in pre-season was as effectively Trent's understudy or the right back understudy. So if you're Jürgen, what are you doing? If we presume now that Ibu isn't going to make this one,
I think if you're Jürgen, I think the easy solution is you put Matip in. I think if it's me or any of us, I'd be making the case for Gomez, just in terms of his recovery pace, and just thinking that the games that he's weird, Gomez, and that, like, he, when you see him in odd games, he looks really cold. But over pre-season and into the start of the season, he looked quite good. He looked like he was, you know, getting back to where we sort of seen him a couple of years ago. So I'd be making the case for that. But I think the manager's very much, you know, he has people who he trusts, and he just sort of says, go in and do what you know, do what you can. Matip in the past has been like this and has been a bit out of sorts, and then he's just come in cold and looked great. So you'd be crossing your fingers, wouldn't you, and sort of hoping. You know, and some of that could be Van Dijk. I mean, I think Van Dijk's quite a good start to the season, you know, all things considered. And, you know, if you've got him next year sort of coaching you through the game and saying, stand here, do this, do that, you know, we might have other changes in the team. We might have Endo starting ahead of him, kind of thing. So then there's a little bit more balance, a little bit more protection. But I think
just given sort of like, as you say, sort of the fitness and sort of what we've been practicing and sort of like in training and stuff, he seems the obvious candidate.
I suppose as well, Sam, I'll come to you on this one. I think we know pretty much what Newcastle's team is going to be. 10 out of 11, I reckon, you just know. Because now Joe Linton's been declared fit. It's good. The back four, it'll be the same back four, the same very good midfield three. Isak will play, Almiron will play, and then he's got a decision on the left.
Barnes or Gordon.
But either way, whether it's Barnes or Gordon, it's a pacey left winger. This might be a case where you play Matip and say to Trent, you're just the right back in this game. Because without Ibu on the cover, and like I say, if he's not going to trust Gomez to do that job, and there's no signs he would given what we've seen in pre-season, it might just say, you know what, Trent, you're going to have to be, he might not like it because I know he wants to play midfield, but like, this might have to go, especially now we've probably got a defensive midfielder who we can play. We're playing 4-3-3. You might have to forego a little bit of the box stuff.
Yeah, they may well do something mad, like where Endo, when Trent drifts in on the ball, Endo sort of drifts to the right to almost cover him. You know, like the old school way Henderson used to do it, but obviously he was more down the wing, Trent, wasn't he? I suppose there's a couple of different variables. I think what Trent's got to show in this game is intelligence. He's got to show his maturity. He's been playing football for 6 years now, so he's got to know that when we're in possession of the ball and they're a bit on the back foot and he can drift, maybe not go too far, but then also he's got to know that, actually, I need to be in my position now, and I'm not sure whether he's ready for that yet, but we'll see. I think, yeah.
Sorry, because of course, mate. Is Endo just therefore playing? Do you think?
He's got to, hasn't he? Because one of the things I was going to add in later on is we're going to see a different world of McAllister here. Like, McAllister, Soboslai was great the other day, wasn't he? And McAllister put him in where he wants to be, and the ability he has. I think that's a big game changer for us. Same with Gakpo, and you know what I mean, and all that. But I think that's something. Because I look at their defence as well as ours. Now I know we're probably going to be a lot higher, but they've got some slow lads at the back as well as we have. So I think it'd be interesting to see if they're having the same discussions we are with pace, you know, in behind. Yeah, I think it's an interesting one, the Trent decision now, and he'll probably be the one who's most affected by this, won't he? About what he does, because otherwise it's just as you were, mate. You know what I mean? So yeah, maybe there's just a bit of discipline.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, maybe so. Sides, let's look at the midfield then. If we're pretty sure the goal in the back four is going to be midfield. Sam, obviously, Endo signed. He's available. McAllister's red card rightly overturned. Thankfully, that decision's been made. Oh, you look at the midfield last week, or the first two games, it was McAllister as the six. Obviously, Gakpo and Soboslai. We know there's no Jones, there's no Thiago. So the decision is, does he throw Endo straight in? And if so, does he move McAllister forwards and therefore Cody Gakpo either drops out or goes up front? I'm guessing that's the main question that Klopp's got to answer, and I'm guessing that's what we all think he's probably going to do.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, Endo will come in the six, McAllister and Soboslai either side, and then up front the question is who goes in the number nine. I think Gakpo will probably get the nod, especially in this game. He got his goal there last season as well. And to be fair, watching the game, I don't think he suits playing in the deeper sort of role as well, especially from what we've seen in the first two games. And he did really, really well playing the false sort of nine, you know, taking over from Firmino. So I'm looking for, I think Gakpo will get the nod, in, especially in this game with it being such a tough, tough game away to Newcastle. And in terms of the midfield, the three, in terms of Endo and Szoboszlai and McAllister. And I'm really looking forward to that midfield because, again, like Sam mentioned, you're going to see McAllister in that in his favourite position where he can hurt any opposition. And we've seen that over last season at Brighton. So and it's the first time we're going to actually see a midfield, a functioning sort of midfield with a proper six and with the two new boys playing in their favourite position. So yeah, Newcastle will be looking at ours and thinking we can hurt them in every single instance. We look at Diaz, he's had a really, really good start to the season. He's been our bright spark up front. Salah is Mo Salah and he'll always be the come to the party sort of thing. So yeah, from midfield, I'm actually looking forward to seeing the three in their positions.
It does feel, John, like this is probably Liverpool's first choice midfield. That is probably the first choice at this moment in time. We'll see how the window ends and if anything else happens, but right now, Endo is the only six pretty much we've got, depending on where Stefan Bacetic is fitness-wise. Yeah. We'll see how that pans out. But McAllister, Szoboszlai is the one. They've got a very good midfield. So Joe Linton, Tonali, and Bruno is a very good midfield. I think that is like Champions League level quality, at least. You know, it can compete. That is, it's their strength. And then that's, now Liverpool have got to prove that, well, you know, you've got a good midfield, but we're Liverpool. Like these three have got a big job on because it is a tough ask against, like what Sam mentioned before, yourself, three very big, strong, physical players. That's what they bring. Liverpool have got to be able to match that with their physicality and obviously their technical ability as well.
Yeah, I think that's where like the interest around who plays up front comes in, because I think if you're trying to be clever or if you're trying to sort of get one over on them in terms of numbers, you put Gakpo as the nine and have them sort of dropping in, and then you've got sort of Diaz and Salah to sort of stretch the pitch and go in behind as and when you need to. I think in the first two games, Gakpo's probably the one who suffered just in terms of like the overall team performance, you know, in terms of what we've seen of him in the last 6 months. And I wonder if you restore him there, does that you sort of get the best out of him again? But also just in terms of, you know, the thing that shocked me most when we signed him was his size, like his physicality. You know, he's really like, that's the thing you sort of miss about him when you're in about all the goals and assists and stuff. But it'd be an interesting matchup because I think some of the sort of stuff I've seen from the other lads, like McAllister and Szoboszlai, sort of how good they are with the ball and sort of how mobile and things like that, makes me wonder sort of how do you approach that midfield in Newcastle? Do you sort of look to out-physical them and sort of match them man-to-man, or do you look to sort of play around them and go, we're going to be too quick for you here, you know, you're going to have to, we're going to run you ragged for 90 minutes and have you around the pitch? And it will sort, I think the first 10, as seems to be the way for Liverpool at the minute, might be sort of telling in that, because we've not looked alive sort of first 10, but then as with all the added time and stuff's come into games, later in matches we've looked, you know, like we've still got a lot in the tank and still quite fit. And it's sort of like, do you want to sort of take it to 12 rounds kind of thing and sort of see where you are at the end, or do you want to sort of strike fast and come out, which we haven't done for a bit, and I'd like to see us do a bit more maybe with the, you know, with the lads back in the proper positions.
Yeah, I suppose, Sam, as well, if that is the three we think, and I would agree that's probably what we're going to go for, maybe Bacetic, but I just don't see it. The only other question is what side said before, it's what he does up front. Diaz will play, Salah will play. It's what, you know, Joss has got his goal, but I think it's fair to say he hasn't been brilliant in either game. Obviously got a knock against Chelsea, which might have impacted that, and obviously playing, he ends up right wing the other day, so it's a bit of hit and miss. Darwin hasn't really had much of a look, and he's been the fifth one on effectively. He's been the sub a bit later on. Gakpo's been playing in midfield, but again, I think if you ask him, he'd probably want to go centre forward first of all. Before we speak what we think Jürgen will do, what would you play up front?
I'd play Gakpo because two reasons, really. Off the ball, last year Newcastle looked a threat when Maximan was running out as wild, and obviously we haven't got to worry about that now, but set pieces, and if I remember rightly, Nunes just got physically ruined time and time again, and they hit the bar. I think Alisson might have made the odd save, all from basically him just being bullied. I think Gakpo's stronger and better than him, so from a defensive perspective, I know he played as well, but I think having Gakpo in there, having as many big men, Gakpo, Szoboszlai and the two big centre halves to try and match up there, Joe Linton left back and two centre backs, is a big thing. And I think on the ball, I think as John and so I said before, Gakpo picking up the ball deep and running at their defence, making them backtrack is what we want them to do. If you put a man on the shoulder, it's easier as a defender to defender. But Gakpo dropping in the space, overloading the midfield, which sort of what you talked about, allows us to then turn and run at them. And I think Gakpo's really good at driving that ball towards the defence. And then he's got Salah and Diaz. Well, we assume Salah and Diaz either side of him. So me personally, I would do that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I think I would probably go Gakpo as well. If we do, guys.
Look, I'm not gonna lie, Steve. At first, I was thinking maybe go with Darwin at the start because I thought looking at Gakpo the first two games, I know he wasn't playing in his favour position, and Jota, as you mentioned, wasn't that great. But as the game is getting closer and closer, you see, especially with Konate out and everything going on, you think, you know what, let's just go with the sort of tried and tested where we've seen Gakpo drop in. It will sort of give us an extra man in the midfield if we do need it, because again, in terms of physicality, they're brilliant. And Darwin does go missing at times, but the only thing why I wanted Darwin to start is the runs in behind. I thought if Newcastle are going to come at us, maybe that'll be give us some sort of space where Darwin can hopefully exploit. But getting closer to the game with Konate out now, I'm like, you know what, let's just stick with the tried and sort of tested, and hopefully, you know, an overloading midfield when he drops deeper will help us.
Suppose as well, we might as well talk. There's no, Jürgen said before, John, Mo Salah's not for sale. Like, but obviously, last night those come out. So, our time recording, by the way, I'm just letting you know it's 5 to 11. That's the latest. If you're watching this or listening to this later, and something mad's happened, that's what we're doing. We don't really want to do the transfers on the show. We've got other shows on the channel that'll take over that one. But it's undoubtedly a story. It was the first thing Klopp was asked about. It's ironic that we're playing Newcastle a little bit as well. It's
very ironic.
Maybe there's something in there as well. I don't think Salah's the type of fella, even if he was desperate to go, and we don't know what his thoughts were, John, he's the ultimate professional. I don't think he's one who would be unsettled. I mean, what are your thoughts on where Salah's mind might be at? Because it's undoubted now there's certainly interest in him. And we don't know what he wants, but how do you feel in terms of mentality? You got any worries about Mo Salah going into the game?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think the interest is probably genuine, and you know, it's probably an interesting thing. And I've seen some of the guys tweeting about it, like Paul, and that saying, you know, probably next year, maybe it's a conversation kind of thing, depending on what the offer is. But I think, you know, for whatever, there's obviously loads of different aspects to the Saudi stuff at the minute in terms of like what it means for the game and sort of why it's being done, if you like, from their end. But I think the one thing you can't say about it at the minute is that the standard of that league is not the standard of the Premier League currently. So if you're Salah and you want to be in the conversation, and I would argue he definitely still wants to, by the way, in terms of who he is, you know, for like Ballon d'Ors, winning the Champions League potentially, obviously not this season, but you know, to look and get back into Europe and do something, like, you know, you're not going to achieve that by going there. And I think the thing that's always sort of been lost in the mix of Salah and contract talks and all that is the thing where he always goes on about, like, wanting to always win the Golden Boot, break records with Liverpool, all that type of stuff. I think that means a lot to him. And I think whenever he does leave Liverpool, it's not going to be, I leave Liverpool and I go play for Chelsea or I go play for whoever. It's going to be, I leave that and then I go do the Messi thing and go to America or wherever. But he, you know what I mean? He sort of leaves that thing of, my legacy is secure in terms of top flight football. So, I don't think it's anything that'll really change anything for him. And his main thing, I think, now, I would say, especially with Harry Kane leaving, would be the Golden Boot thing. And I've got an open run at this year, and if I have a really good season,
big robot in front of him, like with a pack.
So you don't forget about the fucking side.
Well, does he not count yet?
a participation award when that fella's banging. He didn't score last week, though. So you never.
Can I just add one thing there? I think they know Salah ain't gonna go. I think this is all about PR for their league and
100%.
And potentially 100%. This game, because let's not put anything off the table with this group.
You never know.
100%.
It is.
They know that. They already knew Mo Salah was not available 100%. This summer. Because Hilal tried early, they got a firm no, and this was now, and Etihad have came up saying, you know what, we want to go. They know this wasn't going to happen this summer. Mo Salah is, as you mentioned, he's a model pro. You know, he's not one to just say, you know what, I'm just going to pick my bags and go. He's an elite winner, elite force who wants to play the highest sort of level, and he'll go on. Look, next season it's a different case. If we got the money, it's early in the window, and if he wants to go, fair play, no issues with it. But right now, no chance.
It was mentioned before, Saj mentioned it, Sam, I'll come to you on this one. If you were looking at Liverpool's best players this season, I mean, Luis Diaz is probably right up there.
Yeah.
Kieran Tippy is a good right back, but I don't think Luis Diaz is having nightmares thinking I'm going to be up against, what is it? It's a bit of Trippier, a bit of Shaw. He'll obviously, someone will come and help him from the midfield, whether it, on that side, maybe Joe Linton, but I think Luis Diaz will be licking his lips again, especially... Yeah. You know, two goals in two games, he's going to get, this side should be able to provide chances for him. I mean, again, it's very early in the season, but like two games in, we're starting to see the Luis Diaz that we all wanted to see.
Yeah.
here's another big chance and a big stage for him to go and do it again.
Oh, Diaz's quality, his footwork, his technical ability. I put something out there, I think, what did we come in after Chelsea? And I said, it was brilliant to see such technical ability across our team, to see lads being able to pass, everyone on the pitch could play. There wasn't anyone who was like second touch of the tackle, or, you know, you get it a little bit with Jota and Darwin sometimes, don't you, and a few others, but when you watch Diaz, the ball, he just kills it. I mean, one of his first touches in Liverpool shirt was a flying, like, side, back heel touchdown. Gem where those listening, when he put his heel up, and, you know, it was unbelievable. And that's what he's about, isn't he? He's just got that touch. Doesn't lose the ball very often. And now he's getting his sharpness back. And he'll be cutting in and trying to whack one top in at the weekend, no doubt. Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. I think Trippi is a very good, solid pro. And I think as a unit, Newcastle are great. But look, when you get them one-on-one with our players, our forwards, and backing Diaz and the other lads to be able to do the job.
Yeah, and you back Salah against Dan. Yeah, Dan Burn's good as well, but you back that's the quality that Liverpool got from right then. We've spoke about it. I think we pretty much nailed what we think both teams are going to be. Liverpool are going to probably bring Matip in and bring in Endo effectively and put Nunez up front. So Jota goes out, and obviously the injury to Buchanan, we think pretty much Newcastle's team's confirmed. With that all being said, then John, I'm going to come to you first. How do you see it going? Can I get a little prediction from you as well?
I think it'll be a tight game. I think if you said to me, we all shook hands on 1-1, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm going to say that we'd probably edge it 2-1.
Okay, Saj?
I'm the same. I'm always going to back my team, so I'm going with the 2-1 loop. But I think it'll be a tough, tough game, like last season.
Yeah, absolutely. It was 10 minutes. It was a tough game, both games last season. Yeah. The difference is, Sam, I suppose they can't time waste as much now, because that was their that was their thing at Anfield, and it came back and put them in the eyes. They're not going to get away with that this year. They'll all get yellow cards, but yeah, I'm anticipating another tight game. I'm guessing you might be.
Yeah, I think there might be a few more goals. I think we probably have to. So I'm going to say 3-2.
What, some game now?
I feel like
4-3 reminiscent of old.
I don't think we're into the season enough for teams to be watertight, apart from Man City, because they're just robotic. Mm, yeah. But I think everyone's a little bit leaky at the moment. So I think, yeah, you might see a little bit of a... I mean, even look, Villa were cutting them open until the injury, and City was City. So yeah, I think 3-2 to the Reds, hopefully.
I've said 2-1 as well. And I think Luis Diaz scores, again, 3 on a row. He's giving me a little bit of humble pie. When I picked my best 11 at the start of the season, he definitely wasn't in it. He's been the best player after two games. So I'm absolutely fine with that one, by the way. I'd have had Jota and I'd have had Nunes up front. Sorry, I'd have had a gap up.
Do you reckon Szoboszlai hits one from a distance this week?
I'd love us to get a free kick on the edge of the box.
That's what I'm saying, is Trent still number one on that one,
or does Szoboszlai get one? But you are right, he was fantastic the other day. If he can have a good game, Liverpool got a very good chance. Right then, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks all you guys for joining us for the preview show as well. Like I say, if you're not watching this live, do like the video. If you're listening to us a podcast, give us a 5-star review, all that good stuff. Leave your comments below and let us know everything you thought about that one. But yeah, enjoy the game this Sunday. We'll have loads of content around it as usual. The watch along, we've got Chloe going up there, there's reaction.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
There's all kinds here on the YouTube and over on Red Men Plus. So yeah, thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all soon. See you in a bit.